I think we're ready. Okay. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for the fact that you're here with us, Lord, and your word is here and powerful and can speak to us regardless of how few our numbers might be, Lord. Thank you for it. And thank you for your presence. Ask that you would teach us tonight and the things that, well, we need to know, change, transform us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about the roles of husbands and wives. We noted that they are complementary of one another, meaning wives are strong where husbands are weak. Husbands are strong where wives are weak. And therefore, we can be a complete unit as a couple. We also noted that husbands and wives are very different from one another in that they have, well, lots and lots of differences, both physically and just in our even the way we think and reason and such. But as a result of those differences, what is a common problem with two people who are supposed to work together, yet they reason and oftentimes respond differently to the same situation? What's a problem that can come up? What's that?
Miscommunication.
What's another word for a miscommunication?
Misunderstanding.
And chaos. What comes about? What's that?
Chaos.
I'm looking for another word. Conflict, argument. What was that, Jeff?
The woman being wrong.
The woman being wrong, okay. The man being wrong. We can even come sometimes to the exact same conclusion, but because it's from differing perspectives, there is that conflict. So tonight I want to look at communication. All right. Husbands and wives, we are different. We reason differently. We respond to the same situations sometimes differently. In fact, oftentimes, like I said, we might actually come to the exact same conclusion, but because we're coming at it from two different perspectives, we might argue about the exact same thing. All right, so I have a video I want to start us off with tonight. And this guy by the name of Jeff Allen, talking about communication.
You have to learn how to communicate. When my wife and I were married 5 years, we went to a marriage counselor because we had to learn how to argue. We had to learn how to resolve conflict. That's what she said. Apparently, shut up. What? Shut up. What? Shut up. What? Shut up. What? Is not a healthy discussion. So we go to the marriage counselor and she asks my wife, why are you here? My wife gives a 20-minute dissertation on why we're there. And she looks at me and goes, why are you here? I said, because she told me to come. You don't think you should be here? And I go, well, all we ever fight about is our lack of money, and I find it ironic that we spend $100 a week to learn how to do that. My wife looked at me and said, shut up. I said, what? Here is $5,000 worth of information, folks, right here. $5,000, right here. I'll give it to you for free. What I learned in marriage counseling was whenever we're having an argument, what I have to say has no bearing on that argument whatsoever. Doesn't matter at all. It's what my wife hears me say that matters. And some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. How many times have you said something to your wife and you can see by her reaction she didn't hear what you said? Then you spend the next 45 minutes arguing about what you meant to say. I know what you meant by it. What do you mean I meant? I didn't mean that. I meant I said what I meant. I've learned. 20 years with this woman, I know better. I'll say something, see her reaction, and I'll go, oh, what'd you just hear me say? And she'll tell me, and I'll go, you know what? I can work with that. Let's keep going. There we go. Perhaps I can make the back nine.
All right. I don't know how many of you have heard of this fellow before, Jeff. I know Jeff and Roberta have, but he's actually a believer now. There we go. But he's got quite a testimony. He's done stand-up comedy his entire life, and I can imagine him being a handful in his early married life, even before knowing the Lord. But a key to harmony in marriage is humility. It's understanding how one another thinks and communicates. And you know, I don't know how many of you have been through the Love and Respect series. Actually, I probably know exactly how many of you have been. But anyway, good series. But I think once we understand a little bit better about how our spouse thinks about certain things, we can have that harmony. But communication is an important key in that. And by design, I think Scripture has a wealth of information on the topic of communication. So what I'd like to do for our time tonight is look at some, not all, but some specific scriptures and see what God is telling us about how to communicate with one another. Of course, the hope is that we can take what we learn here, remember it, and then apply it to our lives. But I want to begin with some wrong ways to communicate. And the Bible does give us those wrong ways, of course, as a lesson on what not to do. But let's turn to a couple passages of Scripture here tonight and look at what it says about communication. Let's start in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, and right there in verse 1, it says this. It says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." I think the NIV says that he's unfriendly. But do you see a wrong way to communicate there? Okay, not communicating at all. Really avoidance of communication. This is simply having a problem arise in a relationship and choosing not to address the problem, running from the problem even. That's the opposite of communication. So avoidance of a problem or avoidance of communication is a wrong way to do it. Something that in the Love and Respect series, he kind of points this out a little bit too. Something interesting is that men by nature will sometimes be silent to be honorable. In other words, they'll begin the communication progress, but then it escalates perhaps into an argument and the man backs off. In fact, Proverbs 23 speaks to that. It says, "It is honorable for a man to stop striving since any fool can start a quarrel." And basically what that's telling us, and it actually addresses the nature of men in particular, is that to maintain honor in a relationship, sometimes men will back off. And that's not necessarily avoidance, okay? That is just meaning he wants to keep things civil. But avoidance is a wrong way to communicate, to not address it at all. Let's go now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25 says this. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Now, that is talking about communication within the church, but as a couple, we're even closer than members of the church. But what is the wrong way to communicate listed in that passage?
Lying.
Okay, lying. Lying. How might we lie to one another as a couple as we're seeking to communicate and resolve a problem? What kind of lying, Becky?
A woman, you know something's wrong, you ask her what's wrong, and she says, Mark, how are you? I'm fine.
All right, that's a lie. That is a lie, Becky. That is good. That is actually not one that I had listed, but that is very good. Okay, so that is an outright lie. Yeah, nothing's wrong. That's the word you're saying. The action and facial expression speak volumes otherwise. What's another way we might lie in communicating or trying to resolve a problem?
Just agree and say it's fine.
Okay, all right. Just saying it's fine. That's kind of right along the lines of what Becky said. Ah, okay. It's your fault. It's your fault.
Oh, no.
Okay. Anything else come to mind? How about in the course of an argument or impassioned conversation, we say something like, you always do that. Right? And that is no exaggeration. Yeah, or, I mean, just overgeneralizing. Or we might minimize our part in the problem and lie and say, I never do that, right? Okay, I didn't say that. So there's some ways, and we're supposed to put away those lies that oftentimes overgeneralize. That is a poor way to communicate.
Another big one.
Okay.
Is, I told you that.
All right, all right. All right, I told you that already. All right. Look at verses 26 and 27 of that same chapter. What's that?
Which is wonderful for marriage, that next line.
The next line. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. There's some good advice there, but what is the wrong way to communicate here? Okay, to be angry and do let the sun go down on your anger. Okay, holding on to anger. Replaying that argument over and over again concerning how you are right and your spouse is wrong. All right, I got one more video for you. One more video for you here. Another comedian.
He gets an house now. She wanted to go visit her parents. She said, I want to do it in one fell swoop. Now, I've never heard my wife say the phrase one fell swoop. We've been together 20 years. She's never said it. And it felt like someone that day told her, hey, you should start using one fell swoop more. And she goes, I'm about to call my husband. He goes, perfect. Use it 40 to 50 times on the internet. So she calls me and she goes, I want to go visit my parents. I want to do it in one fell swoop. And I go, all right, let's do it in one fell swoop. She goes, I want to do it in one fell swoop. I go, let's do it in one fell swoop. You know, let's swoop it up. I'm down. And she kept saying it, one fell swoop, one fell swoop. I mean, over and over again. And then when she went to describe this one fell swoop trip, she goes, we'll go to my mom's, come home, and go to my dad's. And so I just like waited. And she didn't say anything, and I just go, that's not what one fell swoop means. And instead of possibly just being wrong, she goes, I know what one fell swoop means. I go, yeah, it doesn't sound like you do, all right? But we have the same last name. I can't have you out there in one fell swoop conversation. What do you think two birds, one stone mean? Let's just go through them all. I don't know if you know any of them. She hangs up on me. So I get home. And you know when you walk home and you've been in a fight and you're like, all right, how long is this fight? Is it happening still? Is it over? I don't know. I got to fill it out, you know? She never uses words like sorry. I'd love to hear that. And that's a word she definitely doesn't know what it means. And I say it all the time. I walk around the house with just a sack of sorries, just handing them out. I try to give her something. Like, would you like to carry something? She's like, I don't have pockets, so I'm good. We didn't talk that whole night. I mean, we're just sitting there. Our daughter's like, we're watching TV, eating. And I'm like, hey, you know your mom's crazy, right? And then she's like, did you do your homework? Or you don't be dumb like your dad. And then your daughter's just like, are y'all lunatics? So I'm laying on the couch. And my wife just came over. She kisses me goodnight. And then she went to bed. And that was it. You know, that was like, I felt like it was her sorry, I guess. But she didn't say it. And so I was like laid there. And I'm just thinking about it. And you think about it a lot because you're like, all right. Because you learn the longer you get married, sometimes it's like, just let stuff go. You know, who cares? And the next morning, I get up, and I kind of still wanted to talk about it. Because we didn't talk all night, you know? So I went into her, I was like, look, I got to tell you, I mean, it's just not what it means, you know? I got it going real good. I felt so good about this argument, you know? I thought about it all night. I was like, you got this one in the bag, man. You should bring it back up. I'm not trying to date her anymore. I like to win a fight. We're going to die again. I almost woke her up in her sleep. That's how much I was so excited. I almost just started shaking her going, it's not what it means. Her marriage almost ended in one fell swoop. So, and wife and I, we got in the fight.
All right.
One fell swoop.
All right, we're done.
Just over the step. And if you're, look, if you're a newlywed, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. You're right. It doesn't. This is a double-digit marriage.
Stop now.
This is when you're talking about this fighting or the putting your clothes away fighting. This is when they're trying to mentally break. They got you almost.
Oh, wow.
Can we just do this in one fell swoop?
There. He's done. All right. Holding on to anger. That was the point. As I was preparing this lesson, one of the greatest sources of material for comedians is marriage. It really is. So anyway, these were a couple that really stood out, so I wanted to share them with you. All right, don't hold on to anger. That is a wrong way to communicate. We're still in Ephesians, verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What's the wrong way to communicate there? Whole list of them, right?
Yeah.
A whole list of them. I might all be summed up with malice, okay? Malice is kind of with all malice. All of these things are included in that. And it's saying words, malice is saying words to do harm, maybe attacking their character rather than trying to resolve the problem. How might we attack our spouse's character as we communicate? You're a jerk. It's name calling, yeah. Name calling. Other
just
thoughts?
Just like your mother.
Okay, just like your mother. Boy, that's a harsh one right there. Yeah, it's when we attack the person rather than trying to work our way through the problem. I mean, there's a big difference between saying you're dumb and I don't think that's a smart idea. What is the difference between those two?
One is you're pointing to the person and
okay.
Commenting on their mental quality. The other one, you're saying, well, in my mind.
Right. It's against the person rather than the issue. All right. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 28 says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. And keep a finger there, but turn to Psalm 101. book right before it. Verse 5 says, Psalm 101, verse 5 says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. What's the wrong way to communicate here? What's God condemning? Okay, gossip and even slander. This is when we're taking our arguments now between husband and wife to the neighbors, right? You would not believe what my wife did. Jerry, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. Or you would not believe what my husband said. It's that kind of talk. And this might be the most common wrong way to communicate, is when we bring our argument to the neighbors. Go to another one here in Proverbs. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 9. In fact, I got a bunch of them we're going to read right here. Proverbs 21, verse 9 says, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman. Proverbs 21:19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 27, verse 15. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. We're gonna clean up that pattern here, okay? Proverbs 26, verse 21. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So we're both guilty here, but what's the wrong way to communicate? Contentiousness, right? What did you say, Amanda?
Nagging,
okay. Contentiousness, nagging. It is complaining over and over. I do like the illustration of dripping on a very rainy day. Over and over again, as if we're just looking for a fight, right? And both men and women can be guilty of this. One of the wives of a professor at Frontier School of the Bible, she actually taught a number of women's classes, but she said, it has been my practice to mention something twice, but I consider the third time to be nagging. And that was a quote from her. And then she said this. She said, nagging, and this, again, goes for men and women, nagging is the act of reminding someone to do something when you know they remember. Okay? She says, nagging is the act of reminding someone to do something when you know they remember. All right, so these are all wrong ways to communicate. So let's go ahead and look at some right ways to communicate. Let's go to James chapter 1. Where'd you go, James? There you are. James chapter 1. We're looking at right ways to communicate. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So what is the right way to communicate here? Jeff?
Speak slowly. Think about how you're going to respond.
Okay.
And do it with love and not anger.
All right. I think there's one more communication tool that's in that.
Attentively listening.
Ah, listening. There it is. That's the one I was looking for. I think that is perhaps the most vital part of communication is actually listening. And this is the opposite of avoidance. This is being there and actually listening to what the other person says, perhaps even then repeating it back to them to make sure that you've heard it right. And this is so vital. It is the beginning of right communication, listening. What are some hindrances to listening to the other person? Richard?
I'm going to say before they get done talking about the difference.
Okay, and I tend to think that might be the number one hindrance to listening is actually while they're talking, you're thinking about what you want to say next. That's what you were saying, right? You're actually thinking about what you want to say next rather than listening to what your spouse is saying. All too often, that's what we're doing. They're talking, they're communicating to us, but then we're there actually thinking about our next argument, right? Our passage here gives us some good information. Quick to hear means we are readying ourselves to listen. Our mind is engaged. We're making eye contact to that person as they're talking to us. So quick to hear. Slow to speak means we think about what they've said before we respond to it. And then slow to wrath means our goal is not to escalate the argument, but rather resolve it. All right. You don't have to turn there, but we read this one earlier. It gave us a way to wrongly communicate. It says, therefore, put away lying. This is Ephesians 4:25. But then it says that this, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And what is the right way to communicate?
Truthfully.
Okay. Honesty. It's not lying. It's not overgeneralizing, but rather stating the facts about the situation and our point of view on it. It might come down to, you know, I hear what you're saying, and honestly, I didn't think about it that way. I think you might be right. Let's seek God and seek some counsel in this. So be honest about it. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What is the right way to communicate there? What kind of words should we say to our neighbor, to our spouse?
Words of encouragement.
Okay, words of encouragement, edification. What is edification? I mean, it's connected to encouragement, but what exactly is edification?
Be careful what you say.
Careful what you say.
More of an affirmation.
Yeah, it's more of an affirmation. To build them up. What might that look like? Husbands, we'll go to you first. You're having an argument, a passionate discussion. How might a husband edify his wife in the midst of that? Jeff?
Honey, you sure are beautiful.
Honey, you're beautiful when you're angry. Yeah, that is lying. That is a lie. That's a wrong way, Jeff. So what do you think? What is a way that we can actually edify, and I'm talking to husbands, edify your wife as you communicate. Maybe you're having an argument about something. You want your way. She wants her way. What might be a way a husband can edify his wife in that conflict?
Compromise.
Okay. What in what regard?
I don't know. I'd have to hear what she said.
Give me more details. Jeff, what do you think?
During the argument, and it's really hard to do, but honey, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong.
Okay.
You don't have to say you're right. You can say, I understand what you're saying, but this is how I feel.
Okay, all right.
You're not denying they're wrong, but you need to...
All right. Richard says, rather than agreeing that they're right.
You got a point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not that they're wrong.
All right. Okay.
The other circumstances.
I know this upsets you, however.
Okay. Any other thoughts in this particular question?
I have the husband here, but...
Right. Okay. All right. Let me give you this from Ephesians as well. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If it is possible, I think one way that we as husbands can edify our wives is, and I guess it depends on what the argument is, okay? If there are bigger issues, there are smaller issues, but if it's possible, I think husbands can and should forego what they need to allow the wife to have what she needs. It's sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. And Jeff, I think you were really close with what you were saying there. Okay. So wives, you're having an argument, a passionate discussion. How might a wife edify her husband in the midst of it? Build him up. One, two, three, four of you here. Thanks for putting it that way. Let me be right.
No, you're wrong.
I respect you for your opinion. You are the head of the marriage. You are the head of the council. How about that?
You're an idiot.
And again, these aren't blanket resolutions here. And again, like with the husbands, if it's possible, forego what you need to give her what she needs. And with the wives, from the exact same passage in Ephesians, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands. So if possible, wives, forego what you need, because ultimately he has been given the headship and he will be held responsible for whatever that decision is. So both husbands and wives have responsibilities. So wives, respect and submit to her husband as to the Lord. It will edify him. Husbands, love and honor your wife as to the Lord. It will edify her. All right, so edification is a huge plus, a huge benefit, a huge blessing in communication. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What is the right way to communicate there? Okay, admit that you're wrong. Confession, really. Confession. What does that look like? Okay. Carrying around a sack of sorries, right? And hand them out left and right.
Sometimes in the heat of the moment, it's not there.
Yeah.
I think you have to walk away from the heat and then take a moment, and then I think you can come back to it.
Right, right. And then tell her, it's not what that means. It doesn't mean that. No, yeah, just, it is critical to be able to admit when we have been wrong or harmful, malicious, gossiping, slanderous maybe, to admit those things. And our passage says that you may be healed, okay? And in this case, it could be the fellowship of the relationship can be healed. All right. Believe it or not, I've just got one more for you here tonight, so we will be done a little bit early. But Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. What's the right way to communicate there? Okay, tender-hearted,
forgiving,
right. So you've had an argument. You've both presented your sides. Somebody at some point is going to be the more mature one and confess in to some degree, maybe not necessarily that they were wrong, but at least confession as far as giving in. And the right way to communicate after that is forgiveness. What is forgiveness, actually?
Letting things go.
Okay, letting things go. Jeff?
Well, God's realm is it's gone. Forgiving means it's out of your memory. You don't bring it up again.
Okay, all
you
right.
Bring it out, then you really haven't let it go. Forgive us. So it's like forgive and forget.
Okay. And forgetting is the hard part, and it probably never will happen. You probably, well, depends on what the situation is. But probably the best definition I've ever heard for forgiveness, and this actually comes from a psalm, and I didn't write the psalm down, and it doesn't say this exactly, but it has this idea. Forgiveness is the treating of a guilty person as if they're innocent. In other words, they did. They wronged me. They're guilty of wronging me. But forgiveness is treating them as if they didn't. And that's really is what God's done to us. Now, this doesn't mean that we trust them immediately. And again, there's a whole variety of situations that we might have a fight or an argument or disagreement, whatever. So it doesn't mean that we trust them immediately. It doesn't mean that the memory of their wrong will leave our mind. It probably won't. It doesn't mean that the hurt will go away immediately. But it is the treating of that guilty person as if they're innocent. And really, that is exactly how God forgave us in Christ. Christ himself still carries the marks of our sin. He still has those marks, but he treats us as if it never happened. And that is where we're going to end our time tonight. We do have a few minutes here. If you've got comments, questions, input,
this thing.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I've read a lot about it. To forgive somebody, we actually don't have to like them, but we have to love them.
And there is a difference.
And release them with love.
Yeah.
But we don't have. You can't make yourself like somebody.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. You can't like somebody that you naturally just don't like. You can't make yourself like somebody.
Right.
So, to forgive somebody is just, you know, release them from your condemnation and your anger, you know, releasing them with love, even though you don't like that person.
Yeah.
And you don't have to like that person to forgive them.
Yeah.
So.
No, there's a definite difference. In fact, even in a marriage relationship, there are times when we might be in a heated blowout or right after a heated blowout. And if you were to ask me, do you love your wife? I would say yes. If you asked me, do you like your wife? I might say not right now. Okay, so there's definitely a difference. Becky.
Going back to wrong ways to communicate.
Yeah. Right, right, yeah, just kind of escalating it, yeah, for sure. Roberta.
I was saying my mother-in-law gave me years and years ago, I'm trying to think, I don't know that I have it exactly, but I've got it on my bulletin board, but it's a woman wrote down five things that she, in her marriage, when she first got married, five things that she would forgive her husband for. And somebody asked her then years later, how did you do that? I could stick them in five. She said, well, whenever I got mad at him, it was both the thing that was on the list. So anything he did, she counted it as one of those.
Ah, okay. That's good. Okay, so it may have turned into a six item list then at some point, huh? All right. Richard?
Yeah. I think one of the hardest thing to do, but the best thing to do is not to let things escalate into a situation where you're angry with each other. And I say that because I think you have to know yourself well enough to know that your spouse may know what your buttons are, and she's going to push back if she wants to.
Yeah.